Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, February 7th. 124 million barrels of oil pumped in November. Midland area continues to dominate Texas production, with Martin County on top. The story was written by Mallon McEwen, oil editor. The Railroad Commission has issued its preliminary crude oil and natural gas production figures for November 2025. Preliminary figures, based on production volumes reported by operators, indicate 124 million barrels of oil, or 4 million barrels per day, in November. Updated figures for November 2024 indicate crude production was 143 million barrels. Preliminary figures show Texas wells produced 1,002,000,000 MCF, or 33 million MCF per day, of natural gas. The updated November 2024 total was 1,082,000,000 MCF. Production came from 157,000 oil wells and 83,000 gas wells. The Midland area continued to dominate state oil production, and once again, it wasn't even close. Martin County was the top oil producer with 20 million barrels. Midland County was second with 17 million barrels. Rounding out the top 10 counties are Upton with 8.8 million barrels, Loving with 8.4 million barrels, Reeves with 5.9 million barrels, Carnes with 5.6 million barrels, Reagan with 5.4 million barrels, Howard with 5.1 million barrels, Andrews with 4.8 million barrels, Glasscock with 3.5 million barrels. Webb County was the top natural gas producing county with 97 million MCF, followed by Reeves County with 84 million MCF. Midland County ranked third with 77 million MCF. The remainder of the top 10 are Martin with 62 million MCF, Loving with 53 million MCF, Panola with 53 million MCF, Harrison with 39 million MCF, Reagan with 37 million MCF, Upton with 36 million MCF, Culberson with 30 million MCF. Reeves County was the state's top condensate-producing county with 6.3 million barrels. Loving County followed with 4.2 million barrels. Rounding up the top 10 counties are Culberson with 21.1 million barrels, DeWitt with 1.5 million barrels, Webb with 1.4 million barrels, LaSalle with 1.2 million barrels, Dimmitt with 892,000 barrels, Carnes with 878,000 barrels, Live Oak with 787,000 barrels, Ward County with 579,000 barrels. Energy transfer to upsize pipeline expansion. Cost could run $5.6 billion. The story was written by Mallon McEwen, oil editor. Permian's pipeline boom continues rolling along, fueled by rising demand for the region's natural gas. Energy Transfer's Transwestern Pipeline expansion, Desert Southwest, has undergone an expansion before construction begins. The company announced in December that it will upsize the project's mainline pipeline diameter from 42 inches to 48 inches, increasing capacity to up to 2.3 billion cubic feet per day, depending on final compression configuration. The pipeline will move natural gas from various receipt points in the Permian Basin area to existing and new delivery points in New Mexico and Arizona. The upsized project is expected to cost $5.6 billion. Energy Transfer expects the project to enter service in the fourth quarter of 2029, consistent with the original timeline. There is significant demand growth in the Desert Southwest region, including the potential to retire and/or convert coal-fired power plants to natural gas, which could further benefit the project. The ultimate capacity of the Desert Southwest expansion project will be based on market demand, company officials said in announcing the expansion. Analysts at East Daily Analytics noted that the company had indicated in its third quarter 2025 earnings call that it was considering the expansion after an initial open season received significant interest above the original capacity. Desert Southwest will help meet growing gas demand across the Southwest, driven by population growth and data center development, according to the analysts. East Daily is currently tracking nearly 15 gigawatts of announced data center load in Arizona alone by 2032, which could require as much as 950 million cubic feet per day of new gas supply. The project announcement made no mention of changes to the route, indicating the pipeline still expects to deliver gas to six counties across southern New Mexico and Arizona, according to East Daily analysts. Quote, "The upsize to Desert Southwest keeps momentum in the boom for new Permian gas takeaway. With the announcement, new Permian gas egress passes 11 billion cubic feet per day through 2030, including the recent startup of the expanded Matterhorn line, based on projects with a final invest decision," they write. Eiger Express, about 3.7 BCF per day, Blackcomb Pipeline, about 2.5 BCF per day, and ET's Hugh Brinson Pipeline, about 2.2 BCF per day, are scheduled to start through 2027. Existing pipelines supplying the region already operate at or near capacity seasonally, so more capacity is needed in the coming years. Desert Southwest is well suited to meet that demand. Desert Southwest is an expansion of the company's Transwestern Pipeline, a 516-mile, 42-inch pipeline with nine compressor stations that would move natural gas from the Permian Basin to the Phoenix area. The $5.3 billion project is expected to enter service by the fourth quarter of 2029. Company officials told investors they have entered into commitments with U.S. pipe mills to lock in 100% of production and delivery space for pipe in the fourth quarter of 2027. Firms start Zero Solids water recycling system, method touted as preventing toxic gases, more economical, sustainable. The story was written by Mellon McEwen, oil editor. A new partnership is launching a next-generation solids-free produced water recycling system. WT Oil and Gas and its partner EnviroClean have announced the Zero Solids Recycle System, engineered for high-volume oil field operations in the Permian Basin. This system combines WT's treatment infrastructure and operational expertise with EnviroClean's Zero Solids technology and EK1 chemistry platform. Compared with conventional recycling methods, quote, "Ours is drastically different," said Robert Rolf, CEO of EnviroClean. Speaking with the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Rolf said Zero Solids, combined with his company's EK1 chemistry platform prevents the formation of solids. Keeping solids dissolved prevents souring or the generation of toxic gases such as hydrogen sulfide. It is also a more economical and sustainable system because it cuts the cost and dynamics of sludge hauling and disposal. The result is a very frackable fluid that's also very stable, he said. The other dynamic is customers are seeing an increase in the amount of oil recovered. This results in a higher oil cut, end quote. By veering away from conventional recycling methods, such as dissolved air flotation or flock and float, Cero Solids offers a drastically smaller footprint without DAFs, sludge pits, or weir tanks, Rolf said. As the industry continues its focus on treating produced water for reuse, he predicted Cero Solids will become a common methodology. The new system offered by WT and EnviroClean is designed to process up to 150,000 barrels per day and will be a fully manned continuous flow system. WT was recently formed by Water Tectonics in partnership with Clearvale Capital to work with upstream and midstream clients to offer engineering, fabrication, and field service capabilities, as well as focus on reuse and recycling. EnviroClean is a specialty chemical and water treatment technology provider. Rolf said the goal, moving forward, is to continue scaling up the business. Quote, we have a manufacturing facility that should be completed this month that will increase capacity, he said. Battalion Oil shifts gas processing after Wink outage. The story was written by Mella McEwen, Oil editor. Delaware Basin-focused Battalion Oil recently announced several operational updates regarding both its gas treating arrangements and production performance. The Houston-based company has terminated its gas treating agreement with Wink Amine Treater LLC related to its acid gas injection facility. Battalion has also entered into a gas treating agreement with a publicly traded large-cap midstream company it declined to name. In announcing the changes, Battalion management noted that the Wink Amine Treater AGI facility had ceased operations around August 11, 2025, and remains out of service. This prompted the company to exercise its contractual rights to terminate the gas treating agreement. After terminating its contract, Battalion reached an agreement with the large-cap midstream provider to process its gas at an alternate processing facility. The company had been using this midstream partner since Wink's AGI facility went offline. After a significant facility expansion was completed in the fourth quarter of 2025, the midstream company is now able to process substantially all of Battalion's gas volumes from its Monument Draw field. In conjunction with the midstream partner's expansion, Battalion has continued to ramp production into this alternate processing facility throughout late December and January. Most recently, the facility has been processing more than 30 million cubic feet per day of Battalion's gas production, compared to a December average of approximately 17.4 million cubic feet per day. The additional processing capability has allowed Battalion to benefit from additional flow assurance and operational reliability, resulting in an increase in Battalion's average oil production of approximately 1,200 net barrels of oil per day, month to date in January, as compared to the company's December average. This announcement came just weeks after the company said it was selling substantially all its properties in the West Quito Draw area of Ward County to MCM Delaware Resources for approximately $62.59 million. In a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Battalion said the properties include approximately 6,207 net acres. Proved reserves from these properties accounted for approximately 8 million barrels of oil equivalent, or approximately 12% of the company's 2024 year-end proved reserves. Battalion said in its filing, it intends to use the net proceeds from the divestiture of the West Quito assets, if such transaction closes, to repay amounts outstanding under the company's senior secured credit agreement and for general corporate purposes, including funding potential acquisitions and planned drilling expenditures.
And up next, Wink Boy 14 killed in rollover, other teens injured. A 14-year-old Wink boy was killed and three other Wink teenagers were seriously injured Sunday night when a 13-year-old girl lost control of the pickup she was driving and it rolled. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, the girl was driving a Chevrolet Silverado east on County Road 201, east of FM 1232, when the truck veered off the roadway. When the girl tried to get it back onto the roadway, the truck went into a side skid and rolled over. Of the five kids in the truck, only one was wearing a seatbelt. A 14-year-old girl was taken to Winkler County Memorial Hospital with minor injuries, and DPS reported that the boy who died was thrown from the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene. The driver was taken to University Medical Center in Lubbock with serious injuries, and two other kids, a 13-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy, were taken to Winkler County Memorial with serious injuries as well. The crash remains under investigation.
Local game designer builds dragon simulator game. It's when the dragon jumped and made a spin that Alvy Spurlock's then one-year-old son started to laugh. The jump and spin animation is more than just a fun feature in Spurlock's passion project computer game, Scorchlet. It's a bug he purposely left in because it made his son happy. It's one of many unique things he left in the game during its creation. I think games these days are too polished, Spurlock said. I think back in the early 2000s when those games were not polished at all, but they're some of the best games to this day. Designing the game over an 8-month period, Scorchlet, that's spelled S-C-O-R-C-H-L-E-T, is a pet simulation game where players raise a dragon. The game, available for free online, though donations are asked to help Spurlock continue working on updates, allows players to play, feed, hunt, and mine with their dragon. The game is the latest creation for Mad Tea Party Development, which Spurlock created with Alexander Spicer. The idea of the game came to Spurlock after attending a screening of the live-action version of How to Train Your Dragon. Watching the crowd become excited and sharing in the moments gave him a sense of belonging and community. Wanting to preserve the moment, he started working on the game with a sense of togetherness in mind. To make the community as large as possible, Spurlock has made sure to make the game as inclusive as possible. It contains options for a colorblind-friendly user interface, simple controls, and balanced stimulation where no more than three sounds are playing at once. I went out of my way to make sure this game can be played by anyone, Spurlock said. The game can be downloaded on the website itch.io, and while still in beta, the testing period to find bugs and fine-tune the game, donations can be made to help Spurlock as he plans to offer additional updates to Scorchlet. I want the game to be as good as it can be, he said.
Fertility. CDC data. U.S. births dropped last year. New York. U.S. births fell a little in 2025, according to newly posted provisional data. Slightly over 3.6 million births have been reported through birth certificates, or about 24,000 fewer than in 2024. The decline seems to confirm predictions by some experts who doubted a slight increase in births in 2024 marked the start of an upward trend. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention updated its provisional birth data late last week, filling in 2 months of missing data and offering the first good look at last year's tally. The posted numbers account for nearly all of the babies born in 2025, according to the CDC. Data is still being compiled and analyzed, but the final tally might only add, quote, a few thousand additional births, end quote, said Robert Anderson, who oversees birth and death tracking at the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics. Experts say people are marrying later and also worrying about their ability to have the money, health insurance, and other resources needed to raise children in a stable environment. Last year, the Trump administration took steps to encourage more births, like issuing an executive order meant to expand access to and reduce costs of in vitro fertilization and backing the idea of, quote, baby bonuses, end quote, that might encourage more couples to have kids. So far, only the number of births are available, and not birth rates and other information that can give insights into who is having babies. For example, although births increased in 2024 over the year before, the fertility rate actually fell, noted Karen Guzzo, a family demographer at the University of North Carolina. The fertility rate is a statistic describing whether each generation has enough children to replace itself, about 2.1 kids per woman. It has been sliding in America for close to two decades as more women wait longer to have children or don't have kids at all. For 2025, quote, I wouldn't expect birth or fertility rates to have risen. I would expect them to fall because childbearing is highly related to economic conditions and uncertainty, end quote, Guzzo said in an email. Also, most of the births in 2025 would have been children conceived in 2024 when people were worried about affordability and political polarization, she added. As a general trend, U.S. births and birth rates have been falling for years. They dropped in 2020, then rose for two straight years after that, an increase experts partly attributed to pregnancies put off amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, a 2% drop in 2023 put U.S. births at fewer than 3.6 million, the lowest one-year tally since 1979. Long-term care. Avoiding the ick factor in nursing home choice. New York. Sometimes it's a fall that brings a broken hip and a loss of mobility, or memory problems that bubble into danger, or the death of the partner who is relied upon for care. The need to move to a nursing home, assisted living facility, or another type of care setting often comes suddenly, setting off an abrupt, daunting search. It's likely something no one ever wanted, but knowing what to look for and what to ask can make a big difference. Start with government ratings. Regulation of assisted living facilities varies greatly from state to state, meaning there's no centralized standards or source for information. If you're looking for a nursing home, though, they are monitored by the federal government. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services maintains records on nursing homes, including data on who owns the facility, how robust its staffing is, and what types of violations it might have been fined for. It assigns homes a star rating from 1 to 5. Sam Brooks, Director of Public Policy for the National Consumer Voice for Quality Long-Term Care, says while the star rating, quote, can be notoriously unreliable, end quote, due to its reliance on self-reported data, it can still provide some clues about a home. Quote, one or two stars expect it to be bad, end quote, Brooks says. Ratings can be a resource to rule out the worst options, but not necessarily to find the best. Still, Brooks suggests taking a closer look at 4- and 5-star facilities and to consider a home's ownership, too. Nonprofit homes are often better staffed. You could scour inspection reports and online reviews for clues, too, but eventually you'll need to make a list of potential candidates and start making visits. Quote, the data, Brooks says, quote, only goes so far, end quote. Look past the lobby. When visiting a home on your list, be careful not to be too swayed by decorative touches that might be designed to lure you in, like a lobby's furniture, dangling chandeliers, or vases of flowers. Quote, when I tour a building, I listen first. Is it loud? Are call bells ringing nonstop? End quote. Says Mark Sanchez, CEO of United Hebrew, a nursing home in New Rochelle, New York. After that, Sanchez says, switch your senses. Do you detect an odor? Do you see residents clustered around the nurse's station, perhaps clamoring for help? Are staffers speaking respectfully to residents? Are they making eye contact? Are they rushed? quote, culture shows up in small moments, end quote, Sanchez says, quote, and it matters, end quote. Seeking input from families of current residents can be insightful. Another resource may be your local long-term care ombudsman. Ombudsman, funded by the Federal Older Americans Act and present in every state, investigate long-term care residents' complaints. With all the available information on each home, it can be easy to feel like you're drowning in data. So pay attention to how a place feels, too, and pair that with concrete facts. When Jennifer Fink was making the, quote, stressful, grief-inducing, hard and scary, end quote, decision on what memory care community was right for her mother, she didn't consult state databases or Google ratings. She went with her gut reaction, and luckily it was right. Quote, trust your gut, keep top of mind that the salesperson wants your loved one's money, end quote, says Fink of Auburn, California. Quote, if it's giving you the ick, then move on, end quote. More than any other single thing, experts on long-term care stress that a facility's staffing is most important. That means both the quality of the care you witness workers giving residents during your visit and the average staffing levels shown in the reported data. Staffing matters most. A home providing an average of 3 hours of nursing care to each resident each day may not look at all that different on paper from one providing 3.5 hours. But those minutes matter dearly, meaning the difference between a person getting a shower, having help at a mealtime, or being discovered if they've fallen. During a visit, pay attention to how quickly call bells are answered and whether it seems like residents are engaged in activities. Ask staff how long they've worked there. A home that holds on to its workers for years may offer your loved one more continuity. Evan Farr, an elder law attorney in Lorton, Virginia, who wrote, quote, the Nursing Home Survival Guide, end quote, says visiting a facility at night or on the weekend can be particularly revealing. Quote, these are the times when staffing is reduced and the true operation of the facility becomes apparent, end quote, Farr says. Fertility. CDC data. U.S. births dropped last year. New York. U.S. births fell a little in 2025, according to newly posted provisional data. Slightly over 3.6 million births have been reported through birth certificates, or about 24,000 fewer than in 2024. The decline seems to confirm predictions by some experts who doubted a slight increase in births in 2024 marked the start of an upward trend. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention updated its provisional birth data late last week, filling in 2 months of missing data and offering the first good look at last year's tally. The posted numbers account for nearly all of the babies born in 2025, according to the CDC. Data is still being compiled and analyzed, but the final tally might only add, quote, a few thousand additional births, end quote, said Robert Anderson, who oversees birth and death tracking at the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics. Experts say people are marrying later and also worrying about their ability to have the money, health insurance, and other resources needed to raise children in a stable environment. Last year, the Trump administration took steps to encourage more births, like issuing an executive order meant to expand access to and reduce costs of in vitro fertilization and backing the idea of, quote, baby bonuses, end quote, that might encourage more couples to have kids. So far, only the number of births are available, and not birth rates and other information that can give insights into who is having babies. For example, although births increased in 2024 over the year before, the fertility rate actually fell, noted Karen Guzzo, a family demographer at the University of North Carolina. The fertility rate is a statistic describing whether each generation has enough children to replace itself, about 2.1 kids per woman. It has been sliding in America for close to 2 decades as more women wait longer to have children or don't have kids at all. For 2025, quote, I wouldn't expect birth or fertility rates to have risen. I would expect them to fall because childbearing is highly related to economic conditions and uncertainty, end quote, Guzzo said in an email. Also, most of the births in 2025 would have been children conceived in 2024 when people were worried about affordability and political polarization, she added. As a general trend, U.S. births and birth rates have been falling for years. They dropped in 2020, then rose for 2 straight years after that, an increase experts partly attributed to pregnancies put off amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, a 2% drop in 2023 put U.S. births at fewer than 3.6 million, the lowest one-year tally since 1979.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, February 7th, 2026. Religion. The Spiritual Battle for Our Attention by William F. Holland, Jr., Ph.D., ordained and licensed Christian minister. Let's consider tracking how we spend our time in a typical 24-day period. Sleeping and working naturally take up most of it, followed by household tasks and hobbies, and finally, entertainment. Recently, I heard someone point out a troubling contrast. For Christians, spending more time on television or social media than on Bible study, prayer, or ministry seems out of balance. We often hear about the spiritual battle for our minds, but do our choices reflect the seriousness of this struggle? Though I'm involved with ministries and activities, I must ask myself whether I'm still allowing these daily distractions to consume too much of my focus. Do I believe there is such a thing as having a balance with my busy schedule of helping others versus how much time I spend watching and being conformed to the world? The essential question is whether our attention is fully turned toward God or if we are trying to justify and play both sides as we indulge in meaningless distractions. Can you sense Jesus prompting you to re-examine your priorities? Our grandson is a normal first grader who loves to play with Legos and all things related to Mario and Sonic. But he also has a strong connection to Minecraft computer games. He spends a lot of time on his Switch and becomes so deeply involved that it seems he loses contact with what's going on around him. To even mention taking a break causes him to become upset. I was convicted about this the other day and realized I would be the same way if someone took my television, computer, and cell phone away. Have we literally fallen in love with entertainment? Could this addiction be associated with a type of idol worship? The devices are not evil in themselves. They are just tools, but anything that captures our hearts receives our highest devotion. Romans 6:16 talks about the deception of slavery. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you become a slave to them, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? I admit, I enjoy the internet and browse as I relax and watch television, as I suppose most everyone else does. I have my phone with me at all times, as it's now become a part of my life. I'm still astounded by the technology of a satellite beaming a video and audio signal to my big screen, and me having access on a handheld device that can produce information about anything I can imagine. Should we be concerned that Satan is the prince and power of the airwaves? Why am I not more obsessed with Colossians 3, 1 and 2? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Is it not disturbing that we have become obsessed with our technology devices? Are we being distracted away from God? When was the last time we turned everything off for a week? Could we do it? If the enemy can distract you from your time alone with God, then he can isolate you from the help that comes from God alone. Be encouraged as you read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. What did people do before technology? I know, they talked to each other. Today, many are sadly developing an illusion that Facebook likes or even shaking hands with our acquaintances is a substitute for love. Some believe long-distance acknowledgments protect us from the demands and concerns of close relationships. We want to be loved, but some build walls around themselves to avoid the entanglements of sincerely caring for others. True connection requires authenticity, mutual respect, and vulnerability as we allow others to help us understand how to love and how to be loved. Sherry Turkle, a professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, has spent the last 15 years studying how our plugged-in lives are changing who we are. She claims that our technological devices have produced a world in which we're constantly communicating while meaningful conversations are deteriorating. Many accept that reading or listening to what others say and indicating they agree is the same as knowing someone personally. Hiding behind a screen can become a twisted sense of security as we observe society from the realm of our private isolation, and even more serious. Can this also be used to hide from God? Read more about the Christian life at BillyHollandMinistries.com. Ephesians chapter 5, 6 through 21. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure person or one who is greedy, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Love, Actually, by Dr. Jimmy Braswell, interim pastor at Bethany Christian Church. True love is to love as one loves himself, the Bible teaches. Actual love is unreserved, non-judgmental, and sincere. That's how God loves us and how we are to love each other. Actual love is an act of will. We choose to love. It's not something that just happens. We choose it. The Bible teaches that God is love, and there is no better reflection of God in us than the way we love. Loving others as we love ourselves, and we certainly want to be accepted, not forgotten or judged. To be loved actually. Almost everything has a substitute today. Sugar, jewels, diamonds, chocolate, almost every flavor and generics. These substitutes or lookalikes are not the real thing, and there really is nothing like the real thing. The real thing brings satisfaction and delight that the substitute can never quite do. I know some people who have become so used to the substitute that they actually believe they prefer it to the real. But nothing is like the real thing. 1 John chapter 4 in the Bible tells us that God is love, the real thing, and everyone who knows God knows love. Love makes complete satisfaction in God. We don't have to live with substitutes for love. We can know that the real experience, taste, and touch of love is God through Jesus Christ. Choose the real thing and know love. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. David mourns Absalom. From 2 Samuel chapter 18 and 19. Absalom was killed when his head was caught in the low branches of a tree he rode his mule under. Now, who would inform his father David of his death? Ahimaaz wanted to take the message to David, but Joab did not think that he was the one. Joab sent a Cushite to tell David what he had seen. Ahimaaz kept insisting that he be permitted to take the news of Absalom's death to David. Joab gave him permission. Ahimaaz took a different route than the Cushite and got to David first, but he said that he did not know what had happened. The Cushite arrived and gave David the news that Absalom was dead. David went to his room and wept. "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, my son." The victory was turned to mourning among the troops. King David continued to grieve. He covered his face and cried aloud, "Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son."
Oil report. ExxonMobil, 124 million barrels of oil pumped in November. Midland area continues to dominate Texas production with Martin County on top. The Railroad Commission has issued its preliminary crude oil and natural gas production figures for November 2025. Preliminary figures based on production volumes reported by operators indicate 124,149,657 barrels of oil, 4,138,321 barrels per day in November. Updated figures for November 2024 indicate crude production was 143,764,045 barrels. Preliminary figures show Texas wells produced 1,002,396,104 MCF, 33,413,203 MCF per day of natural gas. The updated November 2024 total was 1,082,479,452 MCF. Production came from 157,813 oil wells and 83,966 gas wells. The Midland area continued to dominate state oil production, and once again, it wasn't even close. Martin County was the top oil producer with 20,755,579 barrels. Midland County was second with 17,784,946 barrels. Rounding out the top 10 counties are Upton with 8,835,521 barrels, Loving with 8,479,668 barrels, Reeves with 5,933,656 barrels, Carnes with 5,679,693 barrels, Reagan with 5,449,860 barrels, Howard with 5,134,309 barrels, Andrews with 4,868,771 barrels, Glasscock with 3,508,531 barrels. Webb County was the top natural gas producing count with 97,750,282 MCF, followed by Reeves County with 84,832,237 MCF. Midland County ranked third with 77,756,512 MCF. The remainder of the top 10 are Martin with 62,672,403 MCF, Loving with 53,448,846 MCF, Panola with 53,071,613 MCF, Harrison with 39,363,725 MCF, Reagan with 37,220,723 MCF, Upton with 36,455,053 MCF, Culberson with 30,532,384 MCF. Reeves County was the state's top condensate producing county with 6,338,309 barrels. Loving County followed with 4,288,680 barrels. Rounding out the top 10 counties are Culberson with 21,114,718 barrels, DeWitt with 1,538,180 barrels, Webb with 1,448,910 barrels, LaSalle with 1,287,328 barrels, Dimmitt with 892,731 barrels, Karnes with 878,753 barrels, Live Oak with 787,023 barrels, Ward with 579,488 barrels. Energy transfer to upsize pipeline expansion. Costs could run $5.6 billion. Permian's pipeline boom continues rolling along, fueled by rising demand for the region's natural gas. Energy Transfer's Transwestern pipeline expansion, Desert Southwest, has undergone an expansion before construction begins. The company announced in December that it will upsize the project's mainline pipeline diameter from 42 inches to 48 inches, increasing capacity to up to 2.3 billion cubic feet per day, depending on final compression configuration. The pipeline will move natural gas from various receipt points in the Permian Basin area to existing and new delivery points in New Mexico and Arizona. The upsized project is expected to cost $5.6 billion. Energy Transfer expects the project to enter service in the fourth quarter of 2029, consistent with the original timeline. There is significant demand growth in the Desert Southwest region, including the potential to retire and or convert coal-fired power plants to natural gas, which could further benefit the project. The ultimate capacity of the Desert Southwest expansion project will be based on market demand, company officials said in announcing the expansion. Analyst at East Daily Analytics noted that the company has indicated in its third quarter 2025 earnings call that it was considering the expansion after an initial open season received significant interest above the original capacity. Desert Southwest will help meet growing gas demand across the Southwest driven by population growth and data center development, according to the analysts. East Daily is currently tracking nearly 15 gigawatts of announced data center load in Arizona alone by 2032, which could require as much as 950 million cubic feet per day of new gas supply. The project announcement made no mention of changes to the route, indicating the pipeline still expects to deliver gas to six counties across southern New Mexico and Arizona, according to East Daily analysts. Quote, the upsize to Desert Southwest keeps momentum in the boom for new Permian gas takeaway. With the announcement, new Permian gas egress passes 11 billion cubic feet per day through 2030, including the recent startup of the expanded Matterhorn line based on projects with a final invest decision, end quote, they write. Eiger Express, about 3.7 BCF per day, Blackcomb Pipeline, about 2.5 BCF per day, and ET's Hugh Brinson Pipeline, about 2.2 BCF per day, are scheduled to start through 2027. Existing pipelines supplying the region already operate at or near capacity seasonally, so more capacity is needed in the coming years. Desert Southwest is well suited to meet that demand. Desert Southwest is an expansion of the company's Transwestern Pipeline, a 516-mile, 42-inch pipeline with 9 compressor stations that would move natural gas from the Permian Basin to the Phoenix area. The $5.3 billion project is expected to enter service by the fourth quarter of 2029. Company officials told investors they have entered into commitments with U.S. pipe mills to lock in 100% of production and delivery space for pipe in the fourth quarter of 2027. Firm starts zero solids water recycling system. Method touted as preventing toxic gases, more economical, sustainable. A new partnership is launching a next-generation solids-free produced water recycling system. WT Oil and Gas and its partner, EnviroClean, have announced the Zero Solids Recycle System, engineered for high-volume oil field operations in the Permian Basin. This system combines WT's treatment infrastructure and operational expertise with EnviroClean's Zero Solids technology and EK1 chemistry platform. Compared with conventional recycling methods, quote, ours is drastically different, end quote, said Robert Rolfe, CEO of EnviroClean. Speaking with the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Rolfe said Zero Solids, combined with his company's EK1 chemistry platform, prevents the formation of solids. Keeping solids dissolved prevents souring or the generation of toxic gases such as hydrogen sulfide. It is also a more economical and sustainable system because it cuts the costs and dynamics of sludge hauling and disposal. The result is, quote, a very frackable fluid that's also very stable, end quote, he said. Quote, the other dynamic is customers are seeing an increase in the amount of oil recovered. This results in a higher oil cut, end quote. But by veering away from conventional recycling methods such as dissolved air flotation or, quote, flock and float, end quote, Zero Solids offers a drastically smaller footprint without DAFs, sludge pits, or weir tanks, Rolfe said. As the industry continues its focus on treating produced water for reuse, he predicted Zero Solids will become a common methodology. The new system offered by WT and EnviroClean is designed to process up to 150,000 barrels per day and will be a fully manned, continuous flow system. WT was recently formed by Water Tectonics in partnership with Clearvail Capital to work with upstream and midstream clients to offer engineering, fabrication, and field service capabilities, as well as focus on reuse and recycling. EnviroClean is a specialty chemical and water treatment technology provider. Rolfe said the goal moving forward is to continue scaling up the business. Quote, we have a manufacturing facility that should be completed this month that will increase capacity, end quote, he said. Battalion Oil shifts gas processing after Wink outage. Delaware Basin-focused Battalion Oil recently announced several operational updates regarding both its gas treatment arrangements and production performance. The Houston-based company has terminated its gas treating agreement with Wink Amine Treater LLC, related to its acid gas injection facility. Battalion has also entered into a gas treating agreement with a publicly traded large-cap midstream company it declined to name. In announcing the changes, Battalion management noted that the Wink Amine Treater AGI facility had ceased operations around August 11, 2025, and remains out of service. This prompted the company to exercise its contractual rights to terminate the gas treating agreement. After terminating its contract, Battalion reached an agreement with the large-cap midstream provider to process its gas at an alternative processing facility. The company had been using this midstream partner since Wink's AGI facility went offline. After a significant facility expansion was completed in the fourth quarter of 2025, the midstream company is now able to process substantially all of Battalion's gas volumes from its Monument Draw field. In conjunction with the midstream partner's expansion, Battalion has continued to ramp production into this alternate processing facility throughout late December and January. Most recently, the facility has been processing more than 30 million cubic feet per day of Battalion's gas production, compared to a December average of approximately 17.4 million cubic feet per day. The additional processing capability has allowed Battalion to benefit from additional flow assurance and operational reliability, resulting in an increase in Battalion's average oil production of approximately 1,200 net barrels of oil per day month to date in January, as compared to the company's December average. This announcement came just weeks after the company said it was selling substantially all its properties in the West Quito Draw area of Ward County to MCM Delaware Resources for approximately $62.59 million. In a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Battalion said the properties include the approximately 6,207 net acres. Proved reserves from these properties accounted for approximately 8 million barrels of oil equivalent, or approximately 12.4% of the company's 2024 year-end proved reserves. Battalion said in its filing it intends to use the net proceeds from the divestiture of the West Quito assets, if such transaction closes, to repay amounts outstanding under the company's senior secured credit agreement and for general corporate purposes, including funding potential acquisitions and planned drilling expenditures.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.